Cottage in the Woods by Stripe. For Monster Stuck 2024, a competition run on the Homestuck Fan Author Coalition server. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Dave wakes up to the sound of singing birds, the scent of fresh herbs, and a sharp pain that radiates across his entire body the second he tries to sit up and move. He groans a little, his head throbbing as he tries to place where the hell he is. It's definitely not the barracks. The bed is too soft, and it smells far too nice. But he doesn't remember checking into an inn. Last he remembered, he'd been out on a regular patrol of the woods, had heard a strange noise.
Are you awake?
Dave's eyes snap open to the sound of an unfamiliar voice, and he swears that a literal angel is looking down over him just for a second. But no, she isn't actually glowing, it's just the way that the sun catches her curls of hair, causing the dark locks to look a warm golden brown under the light. He blinks a few times, then tries to sit up again. She places a gentle hand on his shoulder.
Don't do that, she urges gently. You're very hurt.
What happened? Dave croaks out. Who are you?
Well, the second question is easier to answer. My name is Jade. I live out in the woods, and I found you while I was out on a walk to clear my head. You were very hurt, so I brought you inside and patched you up.
Dave lets out a huff.
Hurt how?
You've been attacked, she says softly. There are monsters in these woods, you know. I can't believe they'd send the knight out on patrol on his own.
Dave shrugs his shoulders and instantly regrets it. Fuck, that hurts.
Usually they send us in pairs, but my partner got sick. Figured I'd handle it myself.
Well, that was stupid, Jade says bluntly.
Dave is so taken aback by it that he laughs a little, and that hurts too.
Guess now I know, he says. How bad is the damage?
Jade purses her lips and cups her chin as she considers it.
You'll definitely survive, she says, but Dave doesn't like how long it takes her to come to that conclusion. But you're going to need some time to recover. I know some teas that will help you with the pain, but...
Can you send word to the knighthood? Dave asks. They could come and pick me up. That way I'm not crashing your bed the whole time.
Jade's hands briefly tighten, but her face still holds a pleasant smile.
I'm afraid not. I'm very deep into the woods, you see. A full journey to the nearest outpost would be too long and dangerous for a lone girl like me. Not to mention I'd have to leave you behind for all that time while you're hurt and defenseless.
She gives him an apologetic smile.
But don't worry about being an imposition. I have two beds.
Dave has no choice but to accept her hospitality.
It takes Dave 5 days before he's able to get up and move on his own, and even then, Jade insists he use a cane.
He gripes and pretends like he's only using it to make her happy, but he can tell that he needs it. He's just glad that he doesn't need to ask for her help to make it to the bathroom anymore. Jade's house is surprisingly large for a cottage tucked away deep into the woods. It isn't quite the size of a manor, but she's got 2 bedrooms, a sizable kitchen, a cozy dining room, and a living area. He's told that he should, under no circumstances, ever go into her bedroom, and Dave isn't inclined to break that rule. It feels like the least he can do after she saved his life. Dave pushes around some of the remains of the stew Jade made for lunch in his bowl, humming a bit. He can't really complain about getting 3 square meals made for him every day, but...
Are you vegetarian or something?
Jade's mouth is full now she looks up at him. It takes her a moment before she answers.
Why do you ask?
It's just, there's like, no meat in any of the things you make. And don't get me wrong, it's tasty and all, but I don't know. Sometimes the guy's craving a bit of chicken, or at least like an egg or something.
Jade hums, twirling a bit of hair around her finger. There's something cute about it that Dave wills himself not to interrogate further.
Well, I have to either grow or forage for most of the stuff I cook, she explains.
No hunting?
She shrugs.
I will if I get desperate sometimes, but when there's so much natural stuff growing around me, it just seems like a lot of effort to go out there and kill some cute animal.
It's not that hard, Dave says.
He knows how to hunt. His brother had always wanted him to be self-sufficient.
I could teach you some basics, maybe get some venison in this stew.
Jade stares at him for a moment and then laughs. Dave feels his cheeks heat. "No, I know how to hunt," she clarifies. "My grandfather taught me from a young age. He had me taking down deer when I was 6 years old. I just don't like having to take a life unless I have to. Who am I to decide whether or not a bunny lives or dies? Plants are just easier." A beat, and then she smiles as though she knows something he doesn't. "Besides, I've always had something of a green thumb." 2 weeks in, and Dave is still using his cane, but he's getting around faster now. Sometimes he can almost pretend that he's all better and that he's ready to head back to his unit and report on his own disappearance, but then he'll walk just a little too fast, and the cuts along his side will ache so badly that he almost doubles over. He hates feeling pinned down like this, so he often spends his time pestering Jade. She's good about giggling at all of his dumb comments and observations, and she's about the only thing making his mandatory time off even a little bit bearable. Dave had gone down for one of the naps that Jade so often demanded that he take for his own recovery, but a nightmare stirs him out of an otherwise sound sleep. When he wakes, he realizes it's partially a memory, darkened fur and sharp claws lashing out at him under a full moon. It's enough to keep him from wanting to go back to sleep at any rate, so Dave stands and takes his cane to look for Jade. He starts in the kitchen, but it's empty, the dishes still lying unwashed. She's not sitting in the dining room or lounging in the living area either. He thinks that maybe she's off taking her own nap, and so he walks down the hall to her bedroom and knocks. After the first knock, Dave realizes that the door isn't fully closed. It swings open from the momentum of his fist, and he is suddenly face to face with Jade's bedroom. He'd thought about what her bedroom might look like for her to keep it such a secret from him. He'd imagined maybe some scandalous drawings on the walls, or that maybe it was covered in childish toys. Maybe she was messy and her underthings were strewn about. He had not expected to find himself face to face with a giant, bubbling, glowing cauldron. The glow reflects off of Jade's glasses, obscuring her eyes from him, but the little gasp and the way her shoulders tense tells him all he needs to know. He is not supposed to be seeing this, and this is exactly what it looks like. Dave's throat closes up. He knows what this means, and he realizes he was a fool to think she was anything else. How else would a single woman survive by herself in woods that could fell a fully trained knight? "You're a witch," he chokes out. He takes a step back, ready to make a break for it, though his cane reminds him of how pointless that is. It would be difficult to outrun a witch even with full use of his body. As it is now, she wouldn't even need to use magic to catch him. Jade almost recoils from the words as he says them. "I am," she admits, "but it's not like that, Dave." "Not like what?" he asks. "Not like you're using dark magic for fun? Not like you're literally crouched over a giant cauldron doing fuck knows what, getting a big stew so you're ready to cook me up? Don't know why you waited so long, but maybe mostly recovered knights taste better than super injured ones." "Just shut up!" Dave has never heard Jade yell like that. He's not sure he's heard her yell at all since he got here, and he decides he doesn't like the sound at all. Her laugh is so much sweeter. "I'm not going to kill you or cook you, you!" She exhales loudly, her hands tightening around the rim of her cauldron. "I was just making a potion to help some of my crops grow a little faster since I'm going through them faster with another mouth to feed. That's it." Dave feels bad, even though he knows he shouldn't. "Why should I believe you? Witches are known to be tricky. They'll say anything they can think of until they get you right where they want you, and then..." Jay looks tired, and Dave can't bring himself to finish that statement. "Did you hear that, Dave?" It takes him a moment to remember. "I don't know, from everywhere, I guess. But mostly during my training, good night's gotta be able to sniff out a witch." "Did they ever say what was so bad about witches?" she asks. Dave frowns a little. Not so much at the question itself, but more at her overall reaction. Isn't she supposed to be throwing fireballs at him by now, turning him into a frog against his will? "You're like, powerful and evil?" Dave offers, but even as he says it, he feels unsure. "I guess we were mostly just told horror stories of witches that went rogue, went and destroyed old towns or dethroned kings." "Soldiers can do all of those things too?" "Yeah, but..." Dave trails off, trying to figure out the difference. He wants to say, "But the knighthood would never destroy a village or king who didn't earn it," but he realizes that he doesn't know what it takes for a village or king to earn it. He's not the political mastermind pulling the strings of where to send the soldiers and how to use them. He just does what he's told. And he hasn't been told to think about the whys. But... Jade's voice is so sweet, so gentle. Dave was warned that witches would be sneaky like this, but he's not sure if it's because they're actually sneaky, or if the person who told him that just wanted to make sure that he'd never give them the chance, he sighs. I guess you could probably do all those things easier with your magic, he grants after a moment. But I don't know. You'd really seem like the kind of gal to go out there all magical wands a-blazing, taking out monarchs left and right just because you think it's fun. Seems like you'd rather just sit here and tend to your plants and patch up the occasional knight who thinks it'd be a good idea to do a patrol out alone. Jade's shoulders visibly slump with relief.
Exactly. I'm not going to pretend that all witches are good or that magic can't be dangerous, but I haven't hurt. I mean, I live out in the woods, right? It's not like I'm a danger to anybody. I just want to be left alone to my garden.
Dave nods, still staring at her as he tries to put together what he knows about Jade with what he knows about witches. Even seeing her in front of a cauldron that's glowing ominously doesn't make her scary. She's sweet. Probably not even that powerful of a witch, if he had to guess. Nothing to be scared of.
Yeah, sorry for freaking out. Just wasn't expecting this. But you get back to your cauldron and boiling and toiling in trouble or whatever it is you do there, I'll be sitting on the couch.
No, I'm sorry for scaring you, Jade says.
And even though Dave feels like it's obvious he's in the wrong here, Jade's apology still sounds so genuine. No way she's evil.
Let me finish up with this, and then maybe once I'm done, I can show you how I use this stuff on my plants.
Jade teaches him a lot about magic while he continues to recover. She shows him some of the reagents that she grows in the back of her garden, and she goes in depth into many of their properties. Apparently, it's due to some of those reagents that she was even able to save his life in the first place, as is a few plants with medicinal properties that help to staunch bleeding and encourage healing. She can also do magic outside of potion brewing, and now that he knows her secret, she doesn't bother to hide it. While she's working, she'll sometimes enchant things to hover in midair next to her so that they're within easy reach whenever she needs them. When she reads late into the night, she can conjure up her own light to read by, and it glows the same way that her eyes seem to whenever she's doing something witchy. He never once sees her do any of the evil things that he'd been told that witches do. Everything is for convenience or for her garden. The whole time, Dave feels himself slowly becoming more and more infatuated with her. She's kind and sweet and laughs at his jokes, and as he gets better, he can't help the urge to want to be helpful to her. He offers to weed her garden, to carry potion reagents in from the kitchen, to stir her pot so her arms don't get tired. He thinks he might be in love. He's been in love before. There had been another knight he'd been in training with who he'd been enchanted by, but Dave had never worked up the courage to tell him, given the risk of what might happen if he were found out. Then one day his training partner was transferred to serve a different town in the kingdom, and that was that. Back then his love had always felt so stressful, like something dangerous threatening to burst from his chest that he needed to somehow keep locked up. But with Jade, it feels easy and light. And he feels like if he lets his feelings slip, they would gently float through the air like the earthy scent of one of her growth potions. Still, he knows it has to end the same way. He needs to report back to his unit. He may love Jade, but he isn't sworn to her the same way that he is the crown, and now he's healthy enough to walk back on his own. He starts to pack up his things, as few as they are. He hadn't gone out on patrol with anything but his armor and sword, and so that's all he needs to put on again. When Jade sees him walk out into the kitchen that morning, she looks like she's been stabbed.
Dave? She asks.
She almost looks scared.
What are you doing?
Oh, sorry, I'm not like gearing up to fight you or nothing. I promise that I haven't suddenly done a 180 and decided you're evil out of nowhere. I just think it's time for me to go home.
That doesn't seem to reassure her.
Home?
She repeats.
Yeah, back to my post. I've been missing for about a month now, and thanks to you, I feel all healed up. Probably rusty with a sword and all, but I'll make sure I get some practice in before I go out on any more late-night patrols. That, and I'll make sure I don't do any more solo.
He gives her a little grin. Learn my lesson. Jade's hands clench into her skirts, and she looks at him with an expression that's nearly... guilty?
And do you have to leave today? She asks.
Dave hesitates. He considers that maybe he doesn't have to leave. Maybe he could just stay with Jade. Would his superiors really notice if he was missing for an extra day or two? Would they even care if he never came back at all? But he can feel something itching under his skin, the vague sensation that if he doesn't leave now, he may not be able to leave again. That his place is outside, rather than hanging around here like some sort of domestic pet. The notion strikes him as odd, but he can't fully shake it either. "I think so," he says. "I'm fully healed now, haven't needed the cane at all for a few days now. And I should make sure I get back before they switch out the commanders too fast, or else it might be hard to get my old post back." He shrugs a little. "Can't you stay?" she asks. He feels himself torn in two directions, but he tries to stay strong. "Jade, I like you a lot, but I can't just put my whole life on hold. I trained all my life to do one thing, and goddamn, I'm going to make sure it gets done." She flinches a little, but she's fast to clarify. "I don't mean forever, just one extra day, that's it." He raises an eyebrow. "One day, what good's that going to do?" Jade bites down on her lower lip. It's cuter than it has any right to be, but Dave valiantly pushes that thought down. He's trying to get out of here, and he knows that too much thinking about her lips is going to make it all the harder to leave. "It's a full moon," she answers after a moment. "And?" She closes her eyes tight and takes a deep breath. "The monster that attacked you, it comes out on the full moon, and I don't want you to wind up here again, so just stay here with me for one more night, please?" When Jade phrases it so plainly like that, it's hard to argue. He knows what happened the last time he tried being alone in these woods during a full moon. He's not eager to repeat the experience. But there's something nagging at him, something making him feel a little uneasy. "How do you know it only comes out in the full moon?" he asks. "You been tracking it?" "Something like that," Jade says. But she's so non-committal about it that Dave instantly doesn't believe her. She must be able to read it on his face, because she sighs and adds, "I'm the one who made the monster that attacked you." Dave feels his blood freeze in his veins. That doesn't feel right. Jade is supposed to be a good witch who lives alone and makes potions and grows flowers, and doesn't have the power to do anything harmful. She isn't one of the evil witches that make monsters and hurt people. "You made it?" She must be able to hear the disbelief in his voice. Her posture curls in on itself, and she fiddles with her hair. "It wasn't on purpose," she says. "My dog was old, and he was dying. He had been my only friend out in the woods for years, and I didn't want to lose him, so I turned to some dark magic." She bites down on her lip again, and she's not able to meet Dave's gaze. "It went wrong. That kind of magic always goes wrong. I should have known better, but I thought, no. I have all of the theory right, and it's all perfect, so I should be able to extend his life by a few more years." Dave winces. "Guessing it didn't work out?" "He is still alive. That isn't very much a thing that happened," Jade laughs. But she sounds more frantic than joyful. "But now he attacks anything in the woods that gets anywhere near me, and I can't stop him." She manages to look at Dave straight on. "You're the only person I've been able to save so far, so please don't leave." Dave nods. When she puts it like that, what is he supposed to do? Say no? "One more night," he promises. So with that, Dave takes off his armor, sets aside his sword, and he helps Jade put lunch together. When night finally falls, Jade locks the doors and windows to her cottage up tight, and she insists that Dave sleeps in her room. He balks at the suggestion, but her reasoning is sound. "If I'm nearby, I may be able to keep him from hurting you again." So they work on holing up in her room. Dave keeps his sword nearby just in case, and Jade sets up all kinds of enchantments to hopefully keep the two of them safe. Dave swears he can feel the moon start to rise in the night sky. And when he peers out Jade's window, it's right there, looking down at him. It's an otherworldly sight, and he finds himself wondering why he's only just now noticing it. Has he just always been so busy that he's never looked up at the night sky before? "Dave?" He can hear Jade calling out his name, but Dave can't bring himself to tear his gaze away for her. He just keeps looking up. He feels her set her hand on his shoulder. "Dave, are you okay?" He tries to answer her. Something nice, something casual. What comes out of his mouth instead sounds more similar to a dog whine. "Oh, shit." Dave breathes. "Dave! Dave!" That desire to leave and go outside prickles under Dave's skin. It feels like he needs to go out. The moon is calling to him. The moon is... Jade forcibly turns his head to face her, and Dave's head is spinning. Dave! She shouts at him. His ears perk up. Her voice sounds a lot louder now. She smells a lot louder, too. Dave, I am bringing you to the living area. There's more room there, and I don't want you knocking over any of my magic supplies. Just stay calm, okay? You're gonna be fine. Dave wonders what she's talking about as she starts to pull him out of the room, but his first step tells him everything he needs to know. It feels like his body is on fire, his bones threatening to snap under even the slightest pressure. He yelps at the feeling and starts to hunch over. Jade shifts so that she's under one of his arms, helping to support him. I know, Dave, she says softly. I'm so sorry about this. Just keep walking, just a few more steps. Things feel more and more wrong with every step. By the time they make it to the living area, Dave falls onto his hands and knees, unable to hold himself up on two legs anymore. His fingers become shorter and thicker, and his nails begin to grow and curl into sharp points. Hair bristles out of his skin, the same pale color as his own hair. His tail bursts out from the base of his spine, and he immediately tucks it in between his legs as his body erupts in pain that feels even worse than his injuries had a month ago. The pain dies down once he's done changing. On instinct, Dave throws his head back and howls.
Shh, it's okay, Dave. I'm here.
Jade is right by his side, and she brings a hand up to scratch behind his now fluffy ears. His back leg kicks out, and his tail starts to wag behind him. She giggles a little, and it's the best sound in the world.
See? It's not so bad. I'm sorry I didn't warn you about this. I didn't even think that lycanthropy was a possibility, but I should have known, with the appearances only happening on full moons.
From the distance, Dave can hear another howl. And though there's no human words, he understands it perfectly. It says, "How dare you be so close to my master?" Dave's ears flatten and he scrambles up onto his feet, even if he feels as unsteady as a newborn puppy. He dimly notices that Jade is talking to him and saying something, maybe something important, but every part of his body is pointing in the direction of the threat instead. He needs to be ready to fight back against it. The howl comes again, and this time it is much closer. Dave charges outside. Standing in the clearing outside of Jade's home is a wolf with pitch-black fur. Had the wolf been in the woods, his dark fur would have made him practically invisible, but out here he's illuminated perfectly by the moonlight. Dave growls at him, the wolf growls back, and Jade shouts something that Dave doesn't bother listening to. The other wolf charges first, but Dave is quick to retaliate in kind, and they clash in a tangle of snarling teeth and claws. He feels something sharp dig into his shoulder, and he lashes out with one of his large paws, aiming for the other wolf's face. The other wolf recoils with a whine, blood dripping from his eye, and Dave goes in for a bite to the neck. He misses his target, and the other wolf shrugs him off easily, pushing him back with a strength that has Dave stumbling on his new clumsy feet. From there, it becomes obvious which of them has the upper hand. Dave has trained for years to hold his own in a battle, but those battles had always been with swords and armor. He's never had to fight with teeth or claws before. For this wolf, that comes as easily as breathing. He gets bit again, then again, and he takes a slash across the face that misses his eye, but still draws blood. Dave's adrenaline is starting to die down. He's panting hard, unable to strike back like before. Finally, the larger wolf has him cornered, and Dave is certain he's going to go in for a killing strike. When, in a flash of brilliant green light, Jade appears right in front of him, right in the path of the fangs of the other wolf. Dave closes his eyes, horrified at what he's about to see, the girl who had been so kind to him bitten in half in a futile attempt to save him.
Beck! Bad dog! Bad dog!
Dave's ears flatten on instinct, but when he opens his eyes, he sees what's happened. The other wolf, Beck, has stopped the snapping of his jaws an inch short of piercing Jade's skin, and she's standing fearlessly in the jaws of the beast that nearly killed him. He watches Beck's one working eye bulge and stare at Jade, confused and mortified by not only nearly killing her, but also being shamed for it. Dave still thinks that Beck might go through with biting down, but Jade issues one final, "Bad
Dog!
And in a burst of green light, the other wolf is repelled, thrown back several feet by an unseen force. Beck lands hard on one of his front legs, and then frantically limps off into the woods, his tail tucked between his legs. Even with Dave's mind focused on his more wolfish instincts, he realizes how powerful that kind of magic is. Jade could conquer nations if she wanted, but instead she's in these woods, alone. Jade turns back to look at Dave, and she immediately cups his face in her hands, stroking along the length of his muzzle.
Oh no, you look terrible. I'm so sorry about this, Dave. I should have done a better job of keeping you safe.
Dave leans in to lick her cheek because that's the best way he can think of to say, I don't blame you in wolf. Jade leads him back inside and tends to his wounds with her magic, speaking softly and giving him ample scratches behind the ear. Dave wonders if this is his life now, living as a giant blonde wolf in the woods along with Jade. It might not be so bad, he reasons. And he settles his head on her lap as he drifts off to sleep. Dave wakes up to the sound of singing birds, the scent of fresh herbs, and the feeling of his cheek nestled against something soft and warm. He's sore and his recent injuries still sting a little. But when he flexes his hands, he finds that they're hands instead of paws.
Dave, are you awake?
Dave opens his eyes to the sight of Jade looking down on him, worried but radiant as ever. He grunts.
Yeah, I'm awake. Well, your dog kind of put me through the ringer last night.
Jade laughs and ruffles his hair a little. He doesn't lift his head up even though he could, because he'd like her to keep doing that.
He did. Now you got him back pretty good, too.
Dave lets out a huff of laughter.
Did my best.
There's a moment's pause, and Jade keeps petting his hair.
Do you still want to go back to your night post today?
Dave cannot imagine wanting to move even a single inch from this spot, but he remembers how restless he felt yesterday. He recognizes it now as just a sign that his body was ready to shift rather than an actual desire to leave.
Nah, he says. Don't know if you noticed, but I got some new injuries. Feel like I'm gonna have to stay here a while longer, keep you company.
Jade beams down at him.
You know you don't have to, though, right?
Yeah, I know. But back home, I sleep in the barracks. No way they're going to miss me going wolf mode every month.
He butts his head up into her hand.
Besides, I'm not just going to leave a lady all alone in the woods like this, am I? Pretty unchivalrous of me.
I guess it would be, Jade agrees.
She leans over as she looks down at him, her long hair forming a curtain around them.
I am really sorry about this, though. I'll see what I can do. There's got to be some way to uncurse you.
Take your time.
Dave looks up at her, and he leans up a bit as well. He sees Jade bite down on her lower lip again, and she's far too close for him to hold back. He reaches up to cup her chin, hoping to do this slow, but Jade beats him to the punch. In the next moment, her lips are on his, and her hand is gripping onto his hair for dear life. He doesn't know how long the kiss lasts, but even though it feels like hours, it still doesn't feel nearly long enough. When they break apart, Dave can't help but grin up at her, and Jade grins back. He assures her, I'm in no rush.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. Suburban Jungle by Michael Guy Bowman. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.